Well, hey there. Thanks for tuning in to Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And before we get to Dr. Gifford, I want to share some incredible news with you. We are launching very soon a completely different Gospel Partners Media. We have a powerhouse team of 8 theologically sound voices soon joining our ministry. Men like Pastor Brad Bigney, a certified biblical counselor in his own right, he'll be doing a podcast on marriage and family. If you've ever had questions about resolving conflicts in your own marriage or with your kids, well, get ready for Pastor Brad Bigney and several other men like Pastor Tim Challies and Dr. Adam Tyson and even more. But here's the thing, we need your help to make this a reality. We're right now in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. By partnering with us, you're not just supporting our ministry, you're helping to reshape it in order to reach more people with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just visit transformed.org to get all the details right now. That's transformed.org.
What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I have the privilege of being your host. And in these past few episodes, we've been working through mental health / illness labels, and I've been trying to break down what they are and then provide a biblical understanding of them. So last episode, we did ADHD. I would encourage you, this is one of the most popular mental illnesses, primarily diagnosed for adolescents and children. So go back, check that out today. Generalized anxiety disorder, sometimes just referred to as anxiety or an anxiety disorder. I want to actually break it down. If you're not aware, and some of you are aware, if you're not aware, it is actually a mental illness or it's considered to be a disorder. So we're going to break through some of what this looks like. But let me explain to you, first of all, the prevalence or the pervasiveness of this. This is according to the National Institute of Mental Health, that based on diagnostic interview data from the National Comorbidity Survey Adolescent Supplement, I know that's a mouthful, an estimated 2.2% of adolescents have generalized anxiety disorder, and an estimated 0.9% have a severe impairment. When you think of impairments, by the way, as an anecdote, those are often a failure to be able to function. Think of an impairment like you have a panic attack while at school, or you have a panic attack while at work, and so then you're hesitant to go to school and hesitant to go to work. The prevalence of generalized anxiety disorder among adolescents was higher for females than for males. There's also some data among adults, but generally those that are younger are greatly affected, are more affected. Impairment among adults, an estimated 32.3% had serious impairment and 44.6% have moderate impairment. These numbers are only increasing. If you want to do some of your own research, I would encourage you to do that. I'm not trying to cook the books here with stats, so go ahead and double check my math on this with the pervasiveness. What you're going to see is that there's really a trifecta right now of mental illnesses, and it's depression, anxiety, and ADHD. Those are the top. That's the top reason why psychotropics are prescribed. And so this is why I'm addressing generalized anxiety disorder. So number two, what are we talking about when we talk about the definition of generalized anxiety disorder? Well, it means something like this, and this comes from the DSM-5. Excessive anxiety and worry occurring more days than not for at least 6 months about a number of events or activities such as work or school performance. So then to be diagnosed, you would have to exhibit or demonstrate some of these criteria, and there will be a difference, kind of like I'm making up words. There is the Grinch and the difference. There is a difference between the way an adult and a minor would be diagnosed. So here are some of the symptoms. First of all, an individual finds it difficult to control the worry. The anxiety and worry is associated with 3 of the following 6 symptoms, only one for children. So number one, restlessness or feeling keyed up or on edge. Number two, being easily fatigued. Number three, difficulty concentrating or mind going blank. Number four, irritability. Number five, muscle tension. Number six, sleep disturbance. So if you're demonstrating these as an adult, you may have generalized anxiety disorder, or as a child, it says only one is required for children to be diagnosed. There's a couple of clarifications that go on. Number one, it shouldn't be associated with the physiological effects of a substance, you know, think of medication or drug abuse or any other medical condition like hyperthyroidism. And it's better not explained by other mental disorders. So in general, that's what we're talking about. And I want you to observe the looseness of this, being easily fatigued, difficulty concentrating or mind going blank, irritability, muscle tension, excessive worry occurring more days than not. It is a little bit subjective, I think, if you're being candid about that. How do you know that it's become a disorder? Impairment is usually going to be that fine line. So can you manage it, or is it impairing your daily living, job, family functions, daily life, whatever that is? So in children, if you meet one of these criteria, being easily fatigued, difficulty concentrating, irritable, muscle tension, then you would be diagnosed with GAD. Let me share with you a couple of stats about our kids. And at this point, either you're mentally asleep or you're like, oh no, it's awful. And it isn't great, I'll be honest. So these are facts that come from the CDC, so the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. According to the CDC, 9.4% of children age 3 to 17 years, approximately 5.8 million, had diagnosed anxiety in 2016 and 2019. 5.8 million of those 3 to 17. So there is a significant prevalence. The thought is that children are not going to outgrow their fears. So there are different types of things that a parent needs to consider: social anxiety, general anxiety, phobias, panic disorders. When you think of these are all what go into a diagnosis for GAD. And the thought is, hey, your child's not going to outgrow it, so they need treatment. And what treatment typically happens? Behavioral therapy, and that could include cognitive behavioral therapy. CBT is the most popular form of treatment and care. And then obviously medications. When it comes to medications, both for adults and for children, medications are often a way of tranquilizing and stymieing the physiological symptoms that you're experiencing. So, for instance, worry kicks on and your heart rate increases. You would then take your as-needed psychotropic, your anti-anxiety, and it helps at least calm the physiological symptoms. Others will take it with a daily dosage, and it kind of mellows them out, from what I have been told. It makes them feel like their body just slows down a little bit, their thoughts slow down a little bit, and they're less edgy. And I don't mean edgy like provocative. I mean like on edge, kind of ramped up and ready to go. Those are generally the treatment mechanisms. It's going to depend on your psychiatrist. It'll depend on your school counselor. It'll depend on the medical team that you're working with for whether you or your child will be recommended for meds. And it will also depend on you a little bit. What I learned last year when I personally went to the psychiatrist as I was researching for my forthcoming book, I just learned that they are very client-centered. So they will ask you something like, what do you want? Do you want meds? Do you want us to prescribe meds? So behavioral therapy might be that team at school, or it might be that you're meeting with a CBT counselor therapist, or that means you may choose something like, yeah, I would actually like to go on meds. So big picture, one of the things that I've been surprised by is how there's a shift from a sin sanctification understanding of anxiety to now there being more of a medicalized disorder understanding of anxiety. In my class here at the Master's University, we talk through what happens when you begin to redefine the problem, that you will then redefine the solution. And a couple of years ago, this has been about 2 years ago, I think, in that class, I just kind of said off the cuff, you know, like, hey, this is a sin sanctification issue, not necessarily a medical disorder. And for my own shock and learning, I had 18 to 22 year olds in that class. That was the first time they were hearing that they were thinking through this lens of mental illness, mental disorder, medical problem, not sin sanctification. So for me to drop that bombshell just somewhat off the cuff, I think was unhelpful on my part because I didn't build my case. I didn't help establish things. I just kind of set it off the cuff like we all agreed on it. What that showed me is that there is this different mindset that we now have that generalized anxiety disorder is a disorder. So we're moving anxiety into the disorder category instead of sin sanctification category, which is where the Bible houses it. So why is that important for you to hear? Some of you have medicalized anxiety. And all I mean by that is you have treated anxiety as if it were a medical problem of your body. I don't blame you for that. It's not your fault. I love you. Side hugs. No, I don't fault you for that because I think that's really the starting point of our culture, that anxiety is a body problem. So we need physical solutions. We need body solutions for that. But I think what you're going to see, hopefully you'll stick around for this next segment, is that the Bible doesn't locate anxiety in our body. The Bible actually locates it in our soul. So as you're thinking about this from the big picture, first provocative thoughts, things that I'm hoping will stir up consideration in your own mind. Is this really a disorder or is this really an issue of the soul? Is this really a mental illness or a mental disorder, to use the generalized anxiety disorder, or is this really an issue of the soul? That is what I will answer when we come back from our break. So I'm going to turn it over to Jimmy. And when we come back, let me help you biblically think about anxiety and generalized anxiety disorder. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gifford. And we'll get back to him in just a moment. But before we do, I wanted to share some information with you that goes right along with what Dr. Gifford is talking about. Understanding anxiety from a biblical perspective. When you do that, it can truly transform your approach to this struggle. First of all, let me introduce you to a fantastic resource in the Transform store right now at transformed.org. It's a 31-day devotional titled, Of All Things, Anxiety: Knowing God's Peace by Paul Todges. Proverbs 12:25 tells us anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. And that's exactly what this book delivers. It's packed with daily encouragement that will lift the weight of anxiety from your heart and replace it with the peace that only God can provide. It's Anxiety, Knowing God's Peace by Paul Todges, and it's available right now in the Transform store at transformed.org. Now, let me shift gears just a moment and talk to you about something that is really near and dear to all of our hearts here at Gospel Partners Media. As you know, if you've been listening for any amount of time, our mission around here is to bring biblical solutions to life's toughest problems. And we go about that by preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and equipping the local church. We can't do that alone. It is a monumental task, and we rely on the support of gospel partners just like you to help us continue doing this. By becoming a gospel partner, you will help us continue producing not just this radio program, all of our other resources like Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Worldview, and a ton of others. Your support helps us reach the world, millions of people all over the world, with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to ask if you would prayerfully consider joining us as a gospel partner. And remember, we only want you to partner with us if you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you're free of any type of debt. So if you're in a place where you can partner with us, head over to transform.org right now and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have. And finally, before I send it back to Dr. Gifford, let's talk about another incredible resource that I want to recommend to you. Scripture and Counseling by Bob Kelman and Jeff Forey. And this resource is an excellent guide because in a time where confidence in God's word is waning, this book reminds us of the sufficiency of Scripture to address the real life issues we're all facing today. Grab it right now at transformed.org. It's Scripture and Counseling by Bob Kelman and Jeff Forey. All right, well, now let's jump back in to Dr. Gifford as he continues offering insights on dealing with anxiety. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for your support and help in all of this. For those of you that have not checked out transform.org, make sure that you look there. And when folks are looking for trusted biblical counseling resources, that's the place that I send them. So I would encourage you to check it out. All right, coming back now to generalized anxiety disorder, I want to help you reinterpret some of what maybe your fault or default settings are, which is medicalizing anxiety. Maybe you've thought about it from a disorder. Maybe you've thought about it more from a I need treatment, I have an illness mentality. But what does the Bible say about generalized anxiety disorder? Well, let me be clear. I'm doing my best to be winsome and clear and truthful in this process. So let me be clear. Number one, generalized anxiety disorder is not a mental illness, and it is not a mental disorder. And I want to say that graciously, but truthfully and forthrightly. What you are experiencing may affect your body for sure, and your body may actually be stirring up things in your soul, but it is not a mental illness. I would invite you to a broader conversation about the very nature of mental illness. I would encourage you to look at the former podcasts that I've done, especially and particularly the series on Mind versus the Brain. We really work through what it means to have a mental illness or what's being claimed with a so-called mental illness. So let me be candid. Your immaterial mind cannot contract a disease, an illness, and your immaterial mind does not have that disorder that's being used. There is an unverifiability to the diagnostic criteria of GAD. It is unverifiable. It lacks empirical verifiability. Feel free to critique me on this. I'm very open to that, and I want to be respectful of the things that you've heard. But I want to also be clear and set you free that what you're experiencing is not a disorder and it's not an illness. Now, since it's not that, what is it? Let me reconstruct something. I never really appreciate people that are just naysayers and they're like, well, that's not what it is, and I tell you. And you're like, okay, well, what is it? And they're like, well, I don't know, but that's not it. I'm trying not to be that guy that does that, you know, naysayer. So what is it? What is it that you're really experiencing? Well, let me remind you about a dynamic that works within yourself. So you are comprised of inner man and outer man. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 that his inner man is being renewed as his outer man is wasting away. So we do want to make sure that you remember your inner man and outer man. You're not either or, you're not primarily one and then the other, that you are this psychosomatic unity and whole. And your inner man affects your outer man and your outer man affects your inner man. One of the things that you should consider is your body, or in what ways are your body, is your body? I don't know. If you're an English teacher, please help me. In what ways is your body affecting your soul? For instance, I think you should go to a cardiologist and say, hey, is there anything going on with my physical heart? I think you should be open to seeing specialists, neurologists, pulmonologists to say, is there anything physiological off about me? Are there any vitamin deficiencies? Is there anything physical that I can see that's actually encouraging this anxiety right now? Because it is very possible for you to experience an increased heart rate and think something like, man, I have anxiety. Or it is very possible for you to have some physiological issue like insomnia and think maybe I have anxiety. So go and work with medical professionals and attempt to rule out any of that body stuff. And if they find a body thing that seems to be encouraging the symptoms of anxiety, then you can differentiate and say, hey, that's more of a body than a soul issue. I'm going to really do my best to focus on that. Easy example, and I joke about this, but it's truthful. If I were to drink 400 milligrams of caffeine right now, I would be bouncing off the walls, karate kicking the microphone, you know, backflipping, and you'd be like, what is the matter with this guy? Increased heart rate for sure, maybe even heart palpitations. And yet that side effect of caffeine is not the same thing as having anxiety. So some of us have physiological anomalies and we need to work with medical specialists to be able to treat those, but that's still not the same thing as anxiety. When we are talking about anxiety, and you've ruled out those body things, just note that your soul does encourage body actions and effects, meaning anxiety can cause gastrointestinal problems. Anxiety can cause insomnia. Anxiety can cause increased heart rate. Anxiety can cause trembling and shaking. So if you're just treating the body stuff, you're not really treating the root of the issue. Does that make sense? If you're just treating the body stuff, you're not really treating why the body is doing that thing. So your medical specialist may be able to observe the effects of anxiety, but they're not necessarily going to be able to treat it. So if you're perfectly at peace whenever your heart is racing, then I would say you don't have anxiety. That's not anxiety. There's a medical problem happening. If you have shortness of breath, but you're perfectly at peace trusting the Lord, that's not an anxiety issue. But if you have shortness of breath, heart is racing, mind is racing, insomnia, and your thoughts are all over the place of the what ifs of life, then yes, you have anxiety. And it seems to me that that is a soul issue rather than a body issue. I've done former episodes on Transformed on anxiety. You can even go back to the television series and see some of the folks that we've counseled over the years regarding anxiety. But are you worshiping control? Ask yourself that question. And am I wanting to be in control? And I'm not. So I'm anxious and worried. Do you have a small view of God? Do you really view him as being sovereign, powerful, totally in control, governing everything in the world toward his ends? Do you see that Jesus confronts anxiety in Matthew 6 and says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and these things will be added to you"? Oh, and remember, he's wise and good and he provides. Remember the words of Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious." Do not be anxious. Anxiety, when we are talking about it within the biblical semantic range, it is a soul issue and it is a faith issue, meaning it's a matter of learning how to trust in the Lord and growing in your trust in God. So if you're just treating physiological symptoms, you're not actually dealing with the root of the issue, which is what's going on in your inner person when you are anxious. Listeners, be free in this. Be free that growth and change can happen whenever you are growing in your trust and your Christ-likeness. Meaning the more you become like Jesus, the more you trust the Lord, the less temptation you have to be worrisome and anxious. A friend of mine, a mentor, Dr. Kevin Carson, said anxiety is a mild form of atheism. Anxiety is a mild form of atheism. Remind yourself of that. You are not sovereign. You are not in control, but God is, and so we trust him. Our anxiety is a soul issue, not a mental illness or a mental disorder. So once you've ruled out physiological possibilities that are encouraging the symptoms of anxiety, really dig into what's happening in your inner person. I would encourage you to find a good biblical counselor that you can begin to unpack what's going on, articulate those thoughts, and then learn how to appropriate God's word to your struggles to trust the Lord. So not a disorder, not an illness, but a matter of the soul and growing in trust in the Lord. So inevitably, the question is, what about meds? So let me just give you a couple of principles. And I said this with ADHD last week. First of all, the question is, should you? Well, it is possible. I want to be clear on that. Biblical counseling doesn't hate medication to include psychotropic medication. But should you? I think the only point where you start to cross the "I should" is if I am slowly being incapacitated by panic attacks, racing heart, dizziness, shortness of breath. And there are those that have such severe anxiety that their body really is struggling to just function. If you are at that point, it seems like you should work with a medical doctor and introduce some type of anti-anxiety, even if it's just on an as-needed basis. So should you? If you're getting to that point, I think the better part of wisdom is yes, for a season. And in that season, you're focusing on what's happening in your inner person. You're learning to grow in your trust of the Lord. You're learning to practically identify wayward thoughts that are worrisome and anxious. You're learning to repent of your desire to be in control and know everything and have everything go exactly your way. You're learning that stuff. And that medication is just helping your body not get as bad as it could be. So yes, maybe on an as needed basis to help regulate your body. But remember this, in the end, psychotropic meds do not treat the root issue. Psychotropic meds are treating the physiological side, the body side of things. In fact, some will take anti-anxieties and it will have an adverse effect. They will be a zombie. They're going to be a shell of themselves. So that's not ideal either. You don't have anxiety because you're asleep all the time. So yes, as a Christian liberty, if you have God-honoring motivations and you're taking them in a legal way, yes, anti-anxieties might have a place so that you can help regulate your body while focusing on what's going on in your inner person. So be free, be free. The Lord promises that the work he has done in you, Philippians 1:6, he will bring it to completion. So if you're truly a follower of Christ, anxiety does not have to mark you. It doesn't have to paralyze you anymore. You can be free in knowing that God will do his work through the power of the Spirit and the appropriation of his word to your life. So be free in that. So let me pray for you and then we'll be done for today. Lord, I pray for the listeners. Some of them have heard GAD their whole life. May they not see themselves as this so-called mental illness. May you be honored in their life as they see themselves through your word as a follower of your son. Help our anxieties to be squashed by fear of you and growing in a big picture of who you are, so that we would be free not just from anxiety, but we would be free to serve you, bless others, love your church, and do a lot of good in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.